Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. That's Robert Cray bringing us back, one of my favorite blues men. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there. We got a brand new video up. We update the homepage every single day with new podcasts, new articles, new contacts, new websites, new Brain Trust members. Every week's a new video, a new poll question. So please check it out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Have a great visit with our good friend Charles Whelan, the author of the new book, 10 Things, or I should say 10 and a half things your commencement speaker won't tell you. And, you know, I leave it to you, Charles, to go off on this angle.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the ones that was most popular when I gave the original speech was your worst days lie ahead.
What?
And every time I bring that up, people say, oh, my God, the students must have been miserable.
When the president of Dartmouth almost kind of raised up off his seat as if to say, maybe I should rein this in now?
No, that was when I said that fraternity basements was time well spent. So he was already uncomfortable.
He was already rising. He was already putting his hand on his shoulder.
Yeah. At that point, he knew that the audience was with me.
Yeah.
So I told the story, I'll tell it now, of my college roommate, a guy by the name of John, who desperately wanted to be a Wall Street banker. It did not work out senior fall. Senior winter, he couldn't find a job. Senior spring, when a lot of people had jobs, he had nothing. We graduated. Summer, nothing came along his way. He was working hard. By the fall after graduation, he was living with his mother in San Francisco, still had no job.
Huh.
I was traveling through. He told me that he had one job offer, and that was to be assistant food and beverage manager on the island of Saipan.
Ah.
Now, if you know your World War II history, Saipan is an island in the Pacific, 2 miles by 5 miles.
Right.
And, you know, near Guam. That's what you do for a good time. You fly to Guam.
Right.
And, he said, what am I supposed to do? I said, you know, take it. Who knows? It's interesting. And it turns out he met his wife there. She was a Kiwi, had been there from New Zealand visiting.
Uh-huh.
And most important, he was well-suited for the hospitality industry. He was urbane and gracious. He wasn't really suited to be an investment banker.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to become CEO of Rosewood Hotels.
Wow.
So for the students, what they liked hearing was, hey, I'm going through that stretch where I don't have no idea what I'm going to do, and I feel like that. So knowing that you're going to come out on the other end okay was very reassuring.
Well, there's another lesson in there from your friend. Not only that the tough times are still ahead that you're going to have to deal with, like, you know, it's not going to be a bowl of cherries the rest of your life. The other lesson was that, you know, sometimes you need to pay attention to the doors that are being opened in front of you.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the world, and many people, you know, people of faith, you know, would say this another way. Sometimes, you know, the forces of the universe are telling you something.
Yeah, and you know what the job market was telling him, and it was bad job market then, just like now, was, look, you've got certain skills and talents and a personality, and it's better suited for something than for something else. And
right.
So he kind of followed that cue and worked out.
Well, good for you for pointing it out to him. So, but that's exactly right. And, you know, another thing along those lines that I would tell young people is failure is the harness made of success.
Oh, it's true. It's interesting. I gave a talk last night to the master students down at the University of Chicago, and I was talking, as these speeches tend to, about things that had worked out well. So I talked about my time at The Economist and some books that were written. But I finished by saying, look, I don't want to, you know, this is a misleading characterization of what's happened, because what I haven't told you about are all the dead ends in between. So at that point, I literally turned around, lifted up this big, heavy box, and it was labeled the box of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I just gone through my basement. And it was a bunch of screenplays I'd written that hadn't worked out. It was rejected book manuscripts. It was the letter of rejection from Prince. I mean, it's like, look, this is what I accumulated. And I kind of went through the box. It was a great riff. But it was also like, you know, I've told you what worked out, but these are the pieces in between that get lost, and it's really important to talk about them.
Well, no question about it. I really believe that we do the younger generations a great service if we can talk to them about having a relationship with things that don't work out, with failure, with mistakes, whatever term you want to use. The best way to find true and sustainable success is to have a relationship with failure.
Yeah, you got to learn something from it. You got to figure out what's going. You know, so one of the things in my box of failure wasn't a complete failure. I've been paid to write a study guide for microeconomics, and that I just didn't like how it turned out. In part because I didn't like the way all the standard microeconomics books had been written, so I thought the study guide was kind of dry. But that was, of course, the first step towards writing Naked Economics, which is a completely different formulation of economics. I want to do it without the charts and the graphs. So even though I was very unhappy with that study guide, it was telling me something and leading me in a direction that worked out much better.
Right. As again, sometimes the universe is nudging you. Here's another one. Don't make the world worse.
Right. I lowered the bar for the folks. Because every commencement speaker is usually somebody who's just, fed 10 million people or invented or turned around an Apple computer. And I think you're sitting there as a 22-year-old thinking, okay, I can't do that. Or maybe I can do it someday, but I'm not going to do it this summer.
Right.
And my point was, look, there are enough smart, talented, hardworking people doing nasty things. Don't become one of them. And I said, you don't necessarily have to cure cancer. I'm just asking you not to spread it.
Well,
I think people felt somewhat relieved by that.
Well, I like the star thrower story. You know the star thrower story where the guy was throwing little starfish back in the ocean after a storm? And somebody there were hundreds of thousands of these things up on the beach. And somebody walked up to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, and he picked one up and threw it back in. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "How can you possibly make a difference?" And he picked another one up and threw it back in. He said, "It made a difference to that one."
Yeah, exactly. No, I have heard that story.
Hold on to that thought. By the way, that's Joel Barker, our good friend Joel Barker's story. He was the guy who came up with that. Tintail, I'm Jim Blassingham. Right back with Charles Whelan after these messages. His book is 10 and a half things your commencement speaker won't tell you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.